Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
This can be around that part of the summer where people are running out of stuff to do with the kids and starting to feel guilty about farming them out here and there in summer camps. And I suppose August being a washout isn't helping. So Jen Hogan joins me now. And Jen, you're kind of an expert on parenting. Not so much because you write about it in the Irish Times, because you have, at last count, how many kids?
At last count, 7, yeah. So my socially unacceptable sized family helps, all right, for content
really, yeah,
and everything
people
else.
People are a bit judgy, yeah, they are.
Oh, very judgy, yeah, they are. Look, no, most people are very nice and positive and a bit amazed and surprised, you know, but you get the odd judgy comment, and I suppose sometimes the polar caps melting and stuff, responsibility for that is laid solely at my feet, so things like that happen.
I have to say, admiration is my only emotion, that you managed to do all that. So where are you at this point in the summer now?
I am ready to tear my hair out. That's where I am. It is because I think the weather has been so bad. And, you know, we have all these ideals and all these dreams. Oh, they're going to go outside and they're going to play. And obviously, I'm still working over the summer. It's a really busy time for me. Kids are home. They're killing each other because they can't get out and they can't get away from each other because we're caught indoors so much and so many different, you know, we have the idea, you know, that we will have them out to play. But even so many different days that you might have had planned, you end up cancelling because the weather's too bad and maybe pals aren't around because pals are either in summer camps or they're maybe gone off, have been farmed out, like you said, they're farmed off to granny or relatives or in with childminders because parents are trying to work, so there isn't necessarily somebody around to play with, even if the weather was better.
You see, I was trying to think, is the ennui worse than usual this time of year? The weather has definitely changed the whole game, has it?
It has, because literally from the start, them being on their holidays, and we'd so much hope, you know, because with June being such a fabulous month, we thought this would be great, you know, into the summer, they can get outside and play all day like we did, you know, throw back to the old summers of yesteryear that we would have had ourselves, and we look back through the rose-tinted glasses at all the crack we'd have had outside and playing and not going home and not even going back in if you needed a wee for fear that your mother wouldn't let you back out again. So that's, I suppose, that what we're trying to live up to and what you were hoping for, but then the rain had other ideas, so that was the end of that.
Yeah, and I know you're in touch with a lot of parents all the time and talking to them and hearing them and everything. I suppose one aspect of this is you're talking about our own ideas of summer's past and all this. Do we put more pressure on ourselves these days, do you think?
I think
the whole parenting thing.
I definitely think we do. I mean, I think we want to live up, I suppose, to those summers of the past. You know, most of us have lovely memories of our own summers, and we'll talk about the things that we did, the games that we played, the fun that we had, and that we didn't have kind of scheduled fun either. You know, that you went off and you made your own crack and that was brilliant, and you know, boredom inspired you to make up games or play games and you found ways to occupy yourself. But I think what we forget as well is how different things were then. There was typically a mother at home in many of the cases, certainly where I was living, nearly all the mammies were at home to facilitate that and see that, and we didn't have things like summer camps. You didn't head off to summer camps, so everybody was around and you could play things like that. So we want to feel that pressure to recreate that, but also I think nowadays we're expected to parent like we don't have children, parent like we don't have work and work like we aren't parents. So you're trying to live up to those kind of expectations, and you've kind of got all this pressure on you to be everything to everyone. And you're conscious, I suppose, that if you're trying to work over the summer, that maybe you're not as available to your kids. So there's the guilt that kicks in there. And that's definitely more of a thing, I think, mums feel than dads. I think dads are better at compartmentalising that and being a bit more practical. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think for the most part, we hear about mum guilt a lot. And I think that's because you feel that huge pressure that you're not living up to societal expectations, which still really expect mum to take care of an awful lot of those things and create this perfect summer and these perfect memories for children. And then we have social media, which comes in and paints this picture of this idyllic summer and these great memories being made, and you keep being told there's only 18 summers, don't miss out on it, cherish every single moment because there's only 18 summers, and you're sitting there and you're losing your mind, terrified that you might miss a precious moment.
And the people putting all this up on social media,
what's
their reality, do you reckon?
Is
this their quotes job?
Yeah, well, you see, there is. Of course, there's lots of influencers and lots of people that follow parenting influencers. And I'm very active on social media myself. And I think sometimes people post those things to be helpful as well. They might put out those inspirational memes, and the 18 summers one being that big one, you know, sit back and cherish every moment, and you know, well, you'll miss those muddy footprints and the messy handprints on the door.
Yeah, they're gone,
foam, and when you won't have their little hand in yours, all those different things.
Stop, all those things
that are meant to just cripple you with guilt even more and make you feel even worse. And you have this kind of coming at you all the time. And then you have pictures captured, because in fairness, most parents are not going to share images of teens slamming doors or toddlers throwing wobblers in the corner or the house in chaos. So they'll show you when things are going right. So if you're following all this on social media and you're looking at those fun days had, you're not seeing necessarily the chaos that was had before. The fact that it might just be have been fun for that 10 or 15 minutes, or it might have been one day in the midst of crazy times. And we're taking all that in as well as that pressure that you feel you put on yourself to try and recreate that perfect summer. We're taking in all what we're seeing on social media, and you know, adults spend an awful lot of time on social media too. We have that, and then you have the
judgment. Are grown ups there looking at social? I know I'm an oddity. I don't have time.
Yeah.
But they are looking at this and comparing their lives to these people and stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's hard not to. I mean, you can remind yourself, and as somebody who is active on social media and is active on social media, often talking about parenting and family and things like that. And I'm conscious, I know what I've put out there is a little snapshot of my life. And so I know it's like that what I'm looking at is not real when I'm looking at other people's social media too. But you still look and you go, God, those kids are gone off to summer camp. And mine didn't go to summer camps, and they didn't go to summer camps because I have so many of them, and it would just cost me a fortune to send them to summer camps. And then I have the guilt about that. And then you have the other parents who have the guilt because their kids are having to go to summer camp because they need summer camp perhaps for childcare arrangements, and they're feeling guilty about that because the kids don't want to go to that. And you're looking at social media, you're looking how everybody is doing all these things, and you feel that pressure. You do, you absolutely absorb it. And again, I think probably parenting influencers and things like that are probably followed more by women. So again, it's women who are typically absorbing this more. Now, I'd have a lot of men who'd follow me too, a lot of dads who'd interact too, but I don't know that they absorb the same pressure. I think it's, again, women trying to recreate and trying to have this perfect summer for the kids, because there's only 18 of them. Don't forget, there's only 18 of them.
Funny, Ryan Hennessy saying there earlier that like his precious memory of when he was a kid is sitting in the back of the car, his dad driving along, and they're playing the Eagles.
Yeah.
But it's just it's in between or the thing. But there is this obsession with making memories and creating these magic moments and stuff, isn't there?
Absolutely. Having those perfect moments so that, because I suppose we know how busy we are. We definitely know how busy we are. We're looking at social media, capturing these magic moments. We want to recreate that. And then I suppose, look, I think we get it from I think the current generation of parents seem to get it from every angle. They get it because they feel guilty about trying to juggle everything and be everything to everyone. But also, sometimes when you talk about how much of a challenge it is trying to navigate and manage school holidays, and especially washouts of school holidays, you hear it also from maybe the older generation said, well, in my day, they just went off and occupied themselves. There was none of this summer camps and none of this having to occupy them. You know, you just went out and played and you had nothing and you were happy with it.
Yeah.
And again, they forget that that's a different time. So it was a different time. Again, going back to the fact, like my own mother, and I know lots of moms weren't.
We're not judging that it was right or wrong.
No, not at all. But that was the reality. Reality was they were primarily at home. And
because I suppose you could buy a house and have a reasonable life.
Yeah.
One salary a lot of the time in those days were.
Where now that's not even an option. And I suppose there was a different expectation as well of women, you know, that you would be the care provider, and that was just the way it went. So a lot of women at home who didn't want to be necessarily at home would have liked to be in the workforce but didn't have that choice.
I think as well though that, like you say about our own memories and everything, a lot of that is false memory syndrome as well, isn't it? Like, I mean, like, you know, this terror that the kids are bored.
Yeah.
Actually, we were bored most of the time, like, but I know I'm sounding like an old fellow myself now, but we were bored. But like, you know, you were sitting around looking for things to do or whatever. And I suppose maybe you could do that then and you can't now.
Well, I suppose, if you told my mother you were bored, she'd find you something to do. slow to admit that, because there was some household chore or other coming your way if you admitted that. So you found your own entertainment. But again, I do think being fair to parents, it is harder because they have to try to continue to work through the summer. So the dread of a kid being bored or a child being bored is that they come in and torment them when they're trying to work, if they're lucky enough to work from home, and they're trying to find something to occupy them. And the lack of friends that are around, I think that's really evident. That's one of the biggest things I notice for rearing my own children versus when I was growing up. All my pals were around, you know, they were there to play with day in, day out. Nowadays, a lot of my kids' friends would be either in summer camps or with relatives or with childminders. Yeah. They're busy during the day.
You have to schedule in.
You do. You have to schedule fun.
Time,
you actually have to schedule fun, which is sounds crazy, but you nearly have to. But the idea of being bored, I'm not against that at all. I love the idea of free play and creating your own entertainment, and it's all great. But when the weather's like that, it's so much harder to do because it's much easier to kick them outside and say, off you go, play rounders, curbs, football, whatever it is, the sort of crack that we had years ago growing up that can still keep them entertained. But when you've got the kind of incessant rain, it makes it definitely much more difficult.
And are you hearing that people are finding the expense of all this a bit slightly more crippling this year?
Absolutely. I mean, to take kids out for the day even, it does add up, you know. By the time you factor in food maybe and even entry into certain places, providing the weather allows that, you add summer camps, which might be part of it, maybe in the morning because people need to look at some sort of childcare solution. And that's obviously not what summer camps are just supposed to be about. But the reality is parents use them. So you have all those sort of different things. And we are in the middle of a cost of living crisis still. Some people feeling the pinch an awful lot more than others. So they do find the summer really difficult. Plus, if you have teenagers, and particularly if you have teenage boys, they never stop eating. So they're constantly in and out of your fridge, and the thousand snacks a day that are needed, or the hundreds of snacks a day that are needed. And all parents will report that to you, that they're just constantly, I'm hungry, I'm bored, what am I doing? You know, the same kind of things coming at you. And all of that sounds like parenthood's a nightmare, and that's not the case at all. And I think that's what's really hard. You're nearly afraid to express that, or people will turn around to you and say, why did you have kids then? Like, what did you... It's not that. It's about maybe sharing sometimes that moment where you feel a little bit overwhelmed trying to do all those things and trying to manage all those things. And I am sure our own mothers in particular, because they were the ones largely at home in the summers, felt that too, felt a degree of it. Yeah. The kids are under my feet, and I have to also, they're also looking for non-stop feeding, and there's that constant cycle of entertaining kids, not maybe in the same way.
People accepted more back then that life was miserable. Like
that's it.
I think our expectations have changed.
They're too high. We expect to have things easier. That's what might be.
Listen, you're in a particular space as well that I wouldn't understand now, with older teenagers. Mm. Is that a different ball game then when they start getting into the older teens for the summer?
It is, of course, because they don't want to necessarily do the same things that smaller kids do. You know, it helps when you have smaller kids because they might get involved in it for the sake of younger siblings. But it's sometimes, for me, it's a bit like having two different families, you know, because the needs of a teenager versus the needs of younger children are completely different. Plus, the teenager, you throw in the fact that they have an extra month off school, or if you have a TY student, an extra month and a half off school. So like by the time my TY student goes back, he'll have been off for 3.5 months. It's a long time for teenagers
to
be around.
Do you think summer holidays are too long?
I think, I think it would be great if we had something, maybe, if there was some way of occupying them a little bit better. I do appreciate and understand how hard teachers and school staff and everybody work, so it's not to take from that, but I do wonder how helpful it is to teenagers to be off for 3.5 months. I'm not sure that's great for them either, even for their focus when they go back after being off for 3.5 months. We need the summer, they need the break. Do we need 3.5 months? I'm not sure. And even try again,
are the job, remember the stuff that you used to do in summers, like you'd be like putting petrol into cars and you know, all those low level things that teenagers are trusted with doing. Are all those kind of things gone now?
They're really hard to get if you're under 18. There are still some jobs out there, and there's definitely a rural and an urban divide there. There's positions available maybe for or opportunities available for children living in rural areas that aren't there in urban areas, and there are some likewise in reverse too. But it's actually really hard to get a job if you're under 18. Most of the places want 18-year-olds because obviously the hours they can work are different, the sort of things. If it's maybe working in a supermarket, something, you can sell alcohol, you can't if you're under age. So they're taking that into account too, so it's not so easy.
Life's a little bit more regulated now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Of course, you can go around and do your del boy and knock on doors and offer to cut grass and do all those sort of things, and lots of them are doing that.
Young fellas the other day going around washing cars, like.
I have an entrepreneur at home who's doing great stuff.
What's he doing?
He's going around cutting grass, washing people's patios, doing whatever it is, helping old dears with their shopping, whatever it is
and
that they need help with.
Everybody's under pressure too. Yeah. Everyone love a bit of casual cheap slave child labour these days. So maybe that's the answer, that the older teens can move in there and fill,
keep
fill the gap.
Occupied.
Okay, so listen, that's all, like, people are going to go, we're living all that, we hear you. Have we any bit of advice or ideas for people? And don't tell me work at night.
That's what I'm doing.
Is that what you're doing? That is literally what I'm doing.
3 a.m. in the morning, you'll find me there usually procrastinating on social media because I have a deadline that I should be writing. But anyway, I'd say there's a lot of,
probably mams more than dads traipsing up the stairs after dinner to get stuck into
get stuff
work.
Done. Absolutely. Working at the kind of the ungodly hours, like night time and up early and stuff in the day, and it's the only way of managing to do it. But I suppose it's seizing those moments. Look, if you do get a bit of a sunny spell, well, I found one of the days it was just kind of really tough at home. We had a lot of rain, there was a break in it, and I just said, right, I'm giving it up, we're going to the playground, just that little bit of space, or getting out and taking your lunch outside if you can with the kids at a picnic if there's a local green area, something that breaks up the day grabbing the opportunities where you can, because you can feel a bit defeated by the weather, but look, those small opportunities, and they change the form as well at home. Like, the kids get out and you get out and everybody feels, okay, we did something, even if it was short, everybody feels better for it.
Change it up. Okay, so next Wednesday and Thursday, I think, are going to be the
that's our summer. Very excited.
So everyone get ready for that. Come here. One brief thing I wanted to ask you about. You wrote recently about that you're not a nervous parent, but you now dread it when your kids go into town being Dublin city centre.
My family are from the north inner city, and was my first home before I moved out to Tallaght, where I grew up. And so town was always really a big part of my life growing up. You know, we went, even when I'd moved out of it, we went back in frequently, obviously, to visit my grandparents, and I still have family living there. And I loved it as a teenager, I loved it as a young adult, I loved it up until, I suppose, recent enough years. It was always a kind of an important part of life for me. But now, I suppose, the way things have changed, I mean, I hate the kids going in, and I try not to let them feed off my nervousness, which I don't have much of. I think I'm a fairly relaxed parent about most things, but I am nervous about them going to town. I actually hate when they go into town. I dread if the teenagers are heading in. I dread if the older ones go out at night there. I stay up kind of like all the night until they're nearly home, because you have that kind of, I'm that mother now. So before it was babies didn't sleep who kept me awake. Now it's the kids going in. And it is that fear, and it has changed. I mean, I know we're being reassured that it's safe and all that, but I went out and I spoke to parents, and I didn't get a single parent come back to me to say, ah, look, it's grand, all cities are like that. Now, there was people in other cities around Ireland, like Cork City came up as well as somewhere that people were nervous about their kids going into. But Dublin City, I suppose, was the focus of what I was asking parents about, and they all came back with this absolute dread. And a lot of parents saying they don't allow their teenagers go into town at all now. They actually have a rule, no teenagers without an adult. And I suppose we have that worry, are we infantilising our kids? They're already trying to catch up after COVID.
And are we Halloween out to cities as well? Like, if
you're conscious, you know, if you're a proud Dub, you don't like the idea of, you know, like you said, Halloween at our city, but that fear is there, and you're trying to balance that and not want to see the end of our capital city. But I think it's a reality for a lot of parents. It's certainly a reality for me, and I'm always happier when they go out local as opposed to head into town, which is sad.
Okay, so I think the big takeaway from that is nothing as simple as it, Jen Hogan.
Nothing as simple, no, but that's no reason not to do it, sure.
Exactly, we've no choice anyway, so
we'll
push on and we'll take a break. Thanks, Jen.
Email brendan@rte.ie.